This is David Paulson. I'm a member of the Society of American Baseball Research. The date is August 16th, 1999. I'm at the home of Robert Stevens in Rockville, Maryland. Mr. Stevens, how old are you?
92. I'll be 93 in April.
Well, you don't look a day over 80.
I've outgrown all the guys that ever hit me, I think.
Okay. When did you get interested in baseball?
My father took me to a ball game in 1915. And from then on, that's all I wanted to do. I couldn't believe that they paid baseball players in those days. I was playing for nothing. I was growing up.
Right. And you were born in Chevy Chase, Maryland?
Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Uh-huh. So I guess you were a Washington Senators fan?
Oh, yeah.
That first game you saw, do you remember?
It was against, yeah, I remember very well. It was against the Yankees. And Wally Pipp was the first baseman. 14 years later, I was playing on the same team with him in Newark, in the National League. I got quite a kick out of it.
Okay. And anybody else in your family play ball?
My brother played 4 years of minor league baseball, and then he decided he wasn't going to big leagues, so he went to law school. He died. He was a prominent lawyer around Washington. Well, I should have done.
Now, I guess you played high school ball.
Yeah.
And what high school did you go to?
Western High School, Washington, D.C.
Oh, down near Georgetown.
Yeah. There's only five high schools in the city then. There's a lot of interest in high school baseball. And five white high schools and two black high schools back there in the teens and the 20s.
And what position did you play?
Shortstop. I was short. One qualification.
And how'd you do? And how'd your teams do? And how'd you do during high school?
High school, they had a short right field on the Central High School. They had the stadium over there. They had a short right field, and I think it was only a single to get it over the fence. So I hit about 500 every year in high school baseball. I was a left-hand batter.
Now, how'd you get interested? How'd you get into organized baseball?
Walter Johnson got me. Somebody recommended me to Walter Johnson, so he took me up there, introduced me, and Walter did pull some wires and got me a job with the New Haven team in the Eastern League. He had some stock in the New Haven club, I think. So without even seeing me play ball, he recommended me up there.
So you actually met Walter Johnson?
Yeah, I went over there. Had dinner with him one night. He came over to our house once for dinner.
Now, that was in 1928 when you went to New Haven.
That was in 1927. I wasn't out of high school then.
Oh, 27,
yeah. My parents wouldn't let me go away till I graduated from high school.
Uh-huh. We have you down at Eastern League, 1928. And Walter Johnson, was he managing then?
He was managing the Washington Ball Club. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think he just started.
Okay, so your first year was 1928 with...
I played briefly in 1927. They used to Class D League up here, Blue Ridge League.
Oh, is that the one Johnny Noon used to play in?
Johnny Noon and Heck Miller, Heck Wilson played up there. There's quite a few players started up there.
Okay. Now, do you remember who your manager was in 28 with the New Haven?
Gene Martin. He was George Weiss, who later ran the Yankee outfit. He was the owner, club president, but he signed the checks. A little outfielder named Gene Martin was the manager.
Mm-hmm. And what classification was that, Eastern?
I think that was an A. I think they went by population of the cities that they played in. It was the same classification as the Southern League. But I think the Southern League was a little faster. They produced more big league ball players than the Eastern League.
That's not the same as the Southern Association, though.
Southern
I think that later was double A, I think, at least in the late
30s. I think it was A in my day. I think I think that was all based on the population of the cities, wasn't it? I never was quite
probably
sure.
Certainly a factor, I would think. Okay.
And the National League, I think, was double A. That was the next jump to the big leagues. Right. God knows how many leagues they've got now.
Okay. Now, you hit 297 that year. Yeah. Pretty good for your rookie.
For some reason, I was picked the all-league shortstop, too. I always figured that was a mistake, because guys ran better averages than me, I think.
Well, you probably were a pretty good fielder.
I guess so. They kept me around all year.
Okay. Then the next year, you got promoted to Newark internationally. Yeah. Was that Triple A then?
Yeah, that was the next jump. Uh-huh. We had a lot of guys coming down from the big leagues. Newark was full of ex-big leaguers. Shoot, I was like a Boy Scout down there with all those old big leaguers.
Did they have some sort of tie-in with one of the major leagues at that time? Eventually, they became a Yankee farm club.
I think they had connections with Washington because they got Walter Johnson up there to manage the year before I was there.
Okay, and he played a lot of games that year, 166 games.
I played every inning of every game that year.
Was that their regular schedule, 166?
166. They had the automatic doubleheaders on Sunday, and Monday usually was off. The second game of doubleheader was 7 innings, of course. But they had 168 games. I think we had a couple canceled at the end because of rain. So I only made 166. I don't think anybody else in the league did.
Because the majors are playing 154.
Yeah. Now, what they play, 162
now.
Yeah.
162 now. Uh-huh. And who, remember some of the players on that team in 29?
Yeah, there was a left-hand, we had a right-hand pitcher who used to be with the Cardinals, named North, Lou North. There was a left-hand pitcher then with the Phillies named Ed Tabor.
Was he any relation to Jim Tabor, who later played for the Red Sox?
I don't know. This was a big left-hand pitcher. He wore the glasses. And a pitcher with glasses was unusual in those days. I don't know whether it is now or not. Heine Scheer was an athletic second baseman for a couple of years in the 20s. He was a second baseman. He was great for me to work with because I was just out of high school. He had played big league ball, so he was a big help to me.
And who was the manager at Newark?
Manager was Gene Martin. Club owner was George M. Weiss, who was a Yankee.
Right.
A big man in the old labor days. George M. Weiss.
And then you were also in Newark in 1930.
1930, that was my best
year. That year you hit 300.
Even 300. I got it on the last time at bat against the ex-Washington pitcher named Monty Weaver. I remember things like that?
Monty Weaver. He won a World Series game, didn't he?
Yeah, he pitched the last game. We played Baltimore. I needed a base hit. I figured it did. I got a base hit last time. That put me over 300. Even 300.
Then in 1931, you started with Newark.
That wasn't a very good year for me, but they, Phillies. And the Phillies needed another infielder, and they got me up there about June, I think.
Now, how would that work? Did they just buy you? Or
I haven't quite figured that out. I think I was up there on a trial basis or what. But after about 2 months, they sent me back to Newark.
So you were up in about the middle of the season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Late July.
All right. Now, you hit .343.
I wasn't in the 12 ball game, uh-huh. But I had one big day in the polo grounds that got me started. I had 4 out of 5 one day in the polo grounds. I think we lost the game with it.
And you got all your 12 hits were singles.
Yes, and most of them were against left-hand pitchers, which I was tickled me a lot. Two Carl Hubbell and. There's another big winner named, St. Louis pitcher. Did a couple of him off him and then...
Wasn't Dizzy Dean, was it?
No, I can't. Bill Walker. He won 18 games that year, so... I was always tickled to death to get a hit off a left-hand pitcher, okay. Being a left-hand batter.
Now, who was the manager of the Phillies when you came up?
Bert Schotten.
Bert
Schotten. He later went to the... Brooklyn, he was there when the Jackie Robinson came in, I think.
Right. Did he, when he managed the Dodgers, I know he wore just a regular business suit. Did he do nothing that
amount? No, he was wearing a uniform with the Phillies, and he used to pitch batting practice. He was a good batting practice pitcher.
But with the Dodgers, though, he was like Connie Mack.
That's what hurt me. I pitched batting practice. I wasn't playing when I went up there. So I pitched batting practice. They loved me. I was a good, had good control. And shoot, and then they stuck me in a game. Yeah, I'm like, I had a dead arm. I think most of my errors were made on throwing, but pitching batting practice for an hour.
Now, the Phillies played in Baker Bowl. Tell us a little about that ballpark.
They had a short right field fence, a higher one. And the fast runner could almost make get a double off that fence. He had a big 6'6" Buzz Arlett. He was a big Coast League hitter. And he was back up against that fence. The ball would hit the fence, bounce off, hit him in the back of his ear. It was a terrible short fence. That's where Chuck Klein used to lead the league in home runs.
Yeah. Now, Chuck Klein, I guess he was probably the best player.
Yeah, but after they traded him later to Chicago, where they had a long right field fence, and he lost a lot of home runs and batting average, I remember reading. He was a good hitter. The Phillies, they had a good hitting club, but they had team averages around 300, but weak on pitching. I remember the Giants beat us once, a doubleheader. I happened to play both games. They beat us, I think, 24-6. First game, and the second game, we beat them 6-5, because I knocked in the tying run. I can remember things like that.
Who were some of the other players on the Phillies?
John Hurst was the first baseman. And Pinky Whitney was the third baseman. He played for a long time. Then there was Hal Lee was an outfielder, and a big catcher named, can't think of his name now. Pitching, they had a great big left-hander named Elliott, Jumbo Elliott. He won 19 games. But the rest of the pitchers, they take about three pitches to finish a game. Phillies could hit. They could have held the opposition down. I think they were in sixth place when I joined them, and they were in sixth place when I left them, so didn't hurt them too much.
Do you know how they finished that year?
Well, Dick Bartel was a shortstop, too. He played about 16 years in the big league.
Was that after the Giants? He played with the Giants?
Played with the Giants. I think he finished up with the Giants. A little feisty good. He was having a terrific arm.
Well, look, you hit 343 now. Why don't you stay with the team?
I don't know. I never really questioned it. You know, it's funny at the time. It didn't bother me a bit getting away from it. The Norfolk Newark team was fighting for the pennant that year, 1931. And I wasn't, of course, disappointed to get out of the big leagues, but I think we lost the pennant. I went back to Newark. And I think they had Bill Weber playing third base that year. We lost the pennant by one game. Team of the second division beat us the last game of the season and cost us the pennant. But I don't know. I think my feeling probably was at fault up there in Philadelphia. I always think that pitching that batting practice had a lot to do with it. Most of my errors were throwing errors. You can't pitch batting practice for an hour and then go to throw a ball around the infield. But I wasn't doing anything, and I'd like to pitch back. Price, they loved to have me pitch at half speed, you know, right down the middle, and we could bombard the fence. Although most of them were trying to hit the ball back at me.
Okay.
Anyway, I've outlived most of them.
Yeah, I'm going to mention some players who are in the Hall of Fame. I just wonder if you played against them and had any comments.
Carl Hubble. Oh, Carl Hubble. First, I got two hits off him.
Good. Jim Bottomley with the Cardinals.
I played against him. He was a first baseman. No, he wasn't either. A guy named Collins was the first baseman. I think Bottomley had either traded or he wasn't playing in 1931.
Okay.
I didn't play against him.
How about Kai Collar or Kiki Collar?
Collar. He was a right fielder of Pittsburgh, but I don't remember.
Frankie Frisch?
Yeah, I played against him. He was playing second for the Cardinals. I remember playing against the Cardinals. And I remember very vividly playing against that big spitballer. He was the last spitballer.
Early
Grimes. I got a line drive with just Pepper Martin. took a hit away from it too. Mm. I can remember things like that.
Was Frankie Frisch managing at that time, or?
No, I don't think he was a manager. But I remember I used to kid me a lot then. Frankie Frisch, he was some ball player.
Chick Happy?
Maybe he was Cincinnati, wasn't he? Wait, no, I'm thinking somebody else.
Okay, Jesse Haynes, pitcher?
He's a pitcher. I didn't play against him. He was on that club.
Right, Gabby Hartnett?
Yeah, he was catching for the Cubs.
Billy?
Great big fella.
Billy Herman?
He was the second, I think he was second baseman for the Cubs actually.
Rogers Hornsby, how about it?
Yep, I didn't play against it, but I was with the Phillies when they came through here. He was playing second then. Never had much to say. He used to stand way back in the box. I never saw a batter stand. He stepped more towards home plate when he swung the ball, had a ball.
Well, he said, he said he liked to wait till the last minute, and most of his hit drives were to right
center.
Right center. Because maybe, of course, standing in the box would contribute to that.
He was just an average fielder, as I remember. He was kind of big.
Al Lopez?
Catcher, yeah. I played against him in the minor league with Rochester. Rochester had some catcher who went up to the big leagues.
Mel Ott
was the right fielder. I got a couple of hits in his territory, and I got my 5-for-4 up there.
Bill Terry.
He was the first baseman. Had a conversation with him. I got on base 4 times that day, so I had a chance to.
Pie Trainer?
Was he playing at Pittsburgh that year? You know, I had an odd thing happen to me in Pittsburgh. I never could figure out how they scored it. I was a leadoff batter. We were playing in Pittsburgh. I got a base hit to center field. As I rounded first base, I pulled something in my leg. We call them Charlie horses now. I don't know what to call them. But they had to take me down to the Pirate Clubhouse, and they put electric things on me, so I was out of the game. And I believe if it wasn't for that, I would have played a little longer. Because I was hitting in a pretty good hitting streak.
Dazzy Vance, ever faced Dazzy Vance?
No, I'm glad I didn't, too, the way he put that ball in there. I didn't play in Pittsburgh. I only played a little on the Western trip, made one Western trip.
How about Hack Wilson?
Yeah. Hack had a terrific year the year before. And I don't think he only hit about 260 that year. He was the hardest looking ball player I ever saw. He looked just like a fire plug. I think he hit 370 one year. And I guess he got drinking or something. He had a reputation of being a... Because he dropped hitting a 390 or something down to 260. And I think he didn't last much longer after that. I still got the record for runs batted in, I think.
Yeah, 191. Okay, now 1932, you started with Newark.
Yeah, that was a bad year for me. I was on a downgrade then. They sold me or traded me to Toronto.
From Newark.
And about the week after I got there, I got hit in the head with a pitch ball. And they had me in the hospital for about a week and thought I had a fractured skull. But it turned out that it wasn't a fractured skull. So I was about through for the year. They sent me down to Birmingham. And I wasn't in any condition to play, so Birmingham sent me back. So I went on home. I think I stayed home for a couple of weeks. And then I went out to the, I think it was the Central League.
Yeah, Erie.
Yeah, out in Erie. I think I was out there about 3 or 4 weeks. We just lost a pennant of a game. Everywhere I went, I was a Jonah, I guess.
Okay.
That was a bad year. I would like to forget that year, 32.
Okay. At 33, you started off with Jersey City.
Oh, that was a nightmare, too. I didn't get spring training. They didn't call me down spring training. The day before the season opened, the manager, the guy named Kelly, was manager of Jersey City. He called me up He said, report right away. Just got your contract straight. I got on a train. No spring train. I didn't even toss the ball. It was a bad spring in Washington. No pants. Got up there in the Jersey City, cold, rainy day. Went out to practice the next day. And the second day, they opened, Rochester, opened the season. Well, I didn't play that first game, but they played me the second and third game. Gee, it was crazy. All those ball players, they're down south training. Yeah, I was just out of it. And I think I lasted about a month with Jersey City. Then I went to Williamsport in the New York Pennsylvania League. And I didn't do anything out there. And I think they were leaving. They wanted to send me to Durham, and I refused to report. So I spent the rest of the summer at home.
Then in 1934, you were back at Norfolk, and you played 140 games.
Yes, I didn't miss an inning of it for a game. And I was again voted on the All-Star team, the All-Star shortstop. I didn't hit much. I think if I hit more, I'd have stayed in the base.
262.
I had a good day in the field. We led the league in double plays. I only hit 262, I think. But I got 100 runs. Every time I did get on base.
113
runs. That's pretty good for a guy. Hit 262.
Yeah.
But they put me on the All-Star team.
Remember who the manager was?
Bill Skip. He was a Yankee. He had played some of the Yankees, and he later became a Yankee scout. I had played with him in Newark. He was a catcher in Newark. One of the reasons I went down there because I knew him. That was half the team. Another reason I went down there, they only had six teams. Three of the teams had played under the daylight and three in the night. And I was glad to get with a team that played in the daylight. Norfolk played, didn't have lights.
So in the minor leagues then, even before the majors, they did play under the lights.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, some of them were bad. The lights at Greensboro, North Carolina, it was so dark out there in center field, he used to tell me, he said, Bobby, when the ball hits out my way, point which way it's going, because I can't see. The lights were that bad.
Now, when you were with the Phillies, what kind of salary did you get?
I think it's $750 a month, which was good money in those days.
That was
when you could buy ice cream cone for a nickel, and beer was 10 cents or 15 cents. That was good money for a utility ball player in those days.
Now, how did the minors pay?
You start out, the standard pay in the lower leagues, like the Eastern Shore League and the Blue Ridge, was $150 a month. Well, maybe they could talk you down to $112 a month. But government clerks were getting about $100 a month in those days, if that much. So that wasn't bad money. It was more money you could get working for the government.
Okay. And what do you think was your biggest thrill in baseball?
Well, I got a home run with the bases full the second day of the season in Newark. I guess I'd never hit a home run with the bases full in organized ball before. I think that was quite a thrill. But I don't know. I think that day at the Polo Grounds, 35,000 people up there, and I got four straight hits. I got kind of a kick out of that. That was the first game of doubleheader. Second game of doubleheader, I went 0-for-4, but I hit the ball good every time.
How'd you get along with umpires?
I never had any trouble with them except with one umpire who threatened to throw me out of a game. The management up in Newark used to try to get me to be more active with my mouth, talk a lot out there, but I didn't have much to say. They said, in fact, they were trying to get me to argue with umpires. They thought it would help my plan for some reason.
Okay. So 1934 apparently was your last active year playing.
Yeah.
And what happened after that?
I got, I like to think that I didn't get fired out of baseball. I was given an increase in pay, and I was going to a higher league, which would have been the New York Pennsylvania League. Well, I'd been there. Shoot, I just figured it. See, I had been up the top and come down. it's hard when you come down that second time to go back up. And I was 27 years old. I better get home. I went home, went to law school. That was depression time, you know, like those 30s. Lost my job, I had to quit law school. So I ended up pushing papers around for the government for about 30 years.
What agency were you with?
I was with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I was with the NRA, and Social Security Board. Well, I played some ball with the Social Security Board team.
Now, did you ever get back to meet Walter Johnson again? I mean, since he lived in the area.
You know, I never did. Walter Johnson sponsored the Dr. Pepper team. The Dr. Pepper, they were putting on a campaign, I guess, and he got up a team of most of them old Redskin football players. They were pretty good ball players. And I was playing semi-pro ball at Annapolis at the time. And Walter came down there with his Dr. Pepper team, and boy, we filled the ballpark. He came out of the clubhouse, man, they stood up and cheered and hollered. I would like to bat him, Jesse. He pitched batting practice for his team. I would like to go up and say that batted against him.
What year was that?
That was 1937. Yeah, he was running, and he had his son playing shortstop, Eddie. He was a good ball player. He had played one year of minor league ball. He didn't like it and he got hurt. So he's a farmer up here in the county now. But that was a thrill seeing old Walter out there pitching batting practice in Annapolis. I did go and sit on that bench and talk to him. That's about the last time I had a chance to talk to him. He was a great guy.
At that time when he was in Annapolis?
Yeah. He was sitting on the bench alone. They only had about 9 players. I guess they came around to run around in the bus or something, but we beat them, I think, 1-0. I don't think I did anything to get
him. He lost a lot of 1-0 games. He was a pitcher.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And after that, did you keep in touch with any ex-players or anybody else involved at the time?
Don Brennan was a pitcher. He pitched some for the Yankees, and he was a big minor league winner. He went up to Cincinnati and stayed about 2 years as a relief pitcher. He was about one of the closest of the guys. He invited me up to hunt bears with him. So I wasn't about to go to Maine to hunt bears. Bob Barrett was an old Cub third baseman. He ended up down at Newark, and I roomed with him. It was about 2 of the closest ball players I was ever with.
How's baseball different today than when you played it?
Boy, don't get me started. First thing, they don't let the fielders, they have to bring their gloves in. I played about 7.5 years of professional ball. I never stepped on a player's glove yet. We'd kind of throw them out deep short or short left field. I used to go back there for fly, and I never stepped on another glove. I don't understand why they had. Now the players, if they get out thrown out on a third strike, said they have to wait till somebody brings their glove out. And their damn hats. I guess if they had the hats in my days, I wouldn't have got hit in the head. But I don't know. I don't guess many players got hit in the head. But there was a spell there when the pitchers were really throwing at the batters, especially if the guy in front had hit a home run. Do you remember the stink bombs? You ever hear a stink bomb, these little pellets that you could throw on the ground, they break and they smell just like rotten eggs. I had a couple in my pocket one day in Buffalo, one hot night when the wind wasn't stirring. And this Dave Danforth, the pitcher for Buffalo, he threw one under my chin and I had to fall back in the 2 stink bombs in my back pocket broke. And you can imagine the smell around that home plate. The catcher was looking at the batter, the umpire, and the umpire was looking at the catcher, and then they both looked at me.
Did you find out who
I got? I got walked. That was Dave Danforth walked me. He had a terrific ball motion. You heard him. He was an old left-hand pitcher for the wife's son. He picked me off first base. I got laughing over there. First base, he picked me off first base. First time I ever got picked off first base. Oh, geez. Things like that I can remember. Oh, geez.
Anything else that you want to tell us?
The Newark team was coming down from Montreal to Toronto. You know, to go play the Toronto and Montreal, two Canadian teams. And they always had a lot of beer in the car. We had two Pullmans, I think. And a couple of our great big pitchers who got drunk, drinking and fighting. And I grabbed one of these 6'3" pitchers by his right arm. He lifted me right up off the ground. He hit the guy with me hanging on to his head. And I think that caused a big meeting in Toronto when we finally got there. And I was blamed for a lot of it for some reason.
You were a troublemaker, huh?
Yeah, I was really never in trouble. I was trying to break up the fight. I ended up with one guy, pitcher had a black eye, and the other had a bruised fist, so he couldn't throw the ball. Two pitchers.
I guess all your traveling was done basically by train, huh?
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. The Newark Club, it's a big newspaper man owned that club. We had two Pullmans on our trips in Newark. When I got to Philadelphia, they went west, one Pullman. I was sleeping up a berth until I got to play, and I never slept up a berth at all in 3 or 4 years in the International League. Now, how do you figure that out? Minor league team has two Pullman, big league team has one Pullman. So I wasn't so unhappy to get back at Newark. There's lost a lot. I think these guys don't have as much fun traveling in their planes as they do. We used to have on the trains. We used to stick our two cars on the end so we could wander around all over. Never have us two Pullmans in the middle of the train. So everybody would try to get different colored pajamas. So I had black and yellow pajamas. I always had a quartet singing in the, these restaurants. I wonder what they do on a plane. They get where they're going in a couple of hours now, don't they?
It takes a few hours, right? Some of them are chartered, well, most of them are chartered planes.
You ever wonder what would happen, and it could happen, when these big planes breaks up with a whole ball club on there? What would they do?
Supposedly all these sports teams have some sort of contingency plan they get different, each team would contribute a player or something.
Because, this is more and more
precious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at you, you look remarkably fit for a 92-year-old man.
What everybody says.
Anything you do special?
One drink a day before dinner. Stopped drinking beer a long time ago. Walk uptown and back every day. That's mile up, mile back. The doctors claim that's good exercise.
It is.
Hell, I've been doing my own. My wife died 9 years ago. I've been living alone doing my own cooking for 9 years. It tells you something. I must be a good cook, huh?
How many children?
I've got 4 grandchildren, but my children all move out of Montgomery County. They say the taxes are too high. My daughter's living in Purcellville, Virginia. She's got 3 kids. And one of my sons lives in Monrovia, Frederick County. Another boy's living in Fairmont. Good, 30, 40 miles away.
Well, so they're not too far, though.
I don't see much of them on weekends, but both of them work in Rockville, so they come around and see whether I'm still alive every day. I'm a fool. I'm shooting for the year 2000. Then the hell with it.
Did you have any problems in adjusting from baseball to civilian life?
Yeah. I know you get lazy in playing baseball. I was playing ball when they turned from daylight to night baseball. That was an awful change. You get used to sleeping in night baseball. Of course, you get You eat your breakfast about 10 o'clock in the morning. You get a snack about 2 o'clock at night. And I guess the players are adjusted to it now.
Did you have any superstitions?
I don't know. We had a player. I don't remember that I ever had any real superstitions. I chewed tobacco for about 3 years, and I finally stopped chewing tobacco in 1933. I started it when I joined the New Haven Club, seeing me, everybody chewed tobacco. I thought it must help the hip.
Yeah. Let me say, my dad told me years ago that he had heard that in all the minor leagues, there was always a Bull Durham sign at the bottom of right field.
I played a couple of, I can't remember.
And supposedly, if a player hit that,
yeah,
on the fly, they would get $25 or $50 for Bull Durham.
I think Bob Veach hit one through the Griffith. Griffith had something up there where if you hit one through there, you got something. I know Bobby Veach, Detroit outfield, he hit one through there because I remember my brother telling me about it.
This was in the minor league, though. And my dad had told me, and I was just wondering if you remember anything like that.
I remember a couple of them, but I don't know if I remember what diamonds they were on.
He said they were, supposedly this was uniform in the lower right-hand corner of right field.
Yeah, I remember that. I can't remember where they parked it. I don't answer that phone now. I got an answering service. Nobody's been trying to sell me something.
You've reached the Stevens residence.
That's probably one of my boys.
Please call us later. Or leave your name and phone, and we'll return your phone.
That's my son who made that. That's probably him.
Hi, Bob. Are you there? Not answering the phone.
No,
are you out walking around?
That's David from the church. I've been
there. You're there.
I know who it is. I'll call her back.
Okay.
She brought me some jelly. I've got to call her back.
I'll call her later. Bye.
Okay. Well, anything else you can think of? I ran out of my questions.
I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. When night baseball came to New Jersey, we almost died. The mosquitoes just swarmed on us. You know what New Jersey is. Along that coast,
Swamps.
Jersey City and Newark. Honest to God, we used to have those big kettles or something. I forget, squirt on us, and you'd sweat it right off. Good God, it was murder playing ball in Newark at night. Jersey City didn't have night baseball. I don't think the mosquitoes were so bad in the daylight.
The hazards of night baseball.
Yeah. The lights look so much better now than it did. But of course, it was just breaking in when my brother played night baseball out there in the 3-hour league. I think there's some Detroit pitcher, the big curveball pitcher. Can't think of his name. He struck out about 18 out there one night. There's nothing under the lights. But that first night game of baseball, it made you think about what can I do besides play ball for a living. It was so terrible when they first came in. Shadows. Well, I don't know if you got anything worthwhile out of this, but
yeah, it turned out right. I mean, really, we did.
So what we did.